dads, granddads, great-granddads, you are warriors. Parenting is warfare. It just is, in some ways better than others, but it's just the way it is. Hopefully you can tell by the sermon graphic behind me that fatherhood is that. It is warfare. Kingdom warfare. And so it's a joy today to preach to fathers today, and everything that I'm going to say today does not just apply to fathers, it applies to every single one of us. Even though I'm talking about being a gospel-centered father, a gospel-centered dad, this applies to every person who says that they are a follower of Jesus. And what we're going to do this morning is examine the gospel and look at fatherhood in light of the gospel. We're going to look at a gospel-centered dad, fatherhood as warfare. So, if you would, in honor of God, 2, verses 6 through 15. Hear God's word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You this morning rejoicing that we have a heavenly Father, that we've been adopted into Your kingdom. We've been made Your beloved children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. So would You send Your Spirit this morning upon us as we look at Your Word? Would You help us to see what biblical, gospel-saturated, grace-filled fatherhood as warfare looks like with King Jesus? Help us, Father, by Your Spirit. And it's in the name of Your Son we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Dads, we, as well as our kids, are in an unseen battle, a cosmic battle. Paul says the elemental spirits, the dark powers, the demonic forces, the satanic allies, they are waging war against us. Paul says this in verse 15. He calls them the rulers and the authorities. That's common New Testament. It's a common New Testament phrase to talk about the cosmic powers. And we know Paul is talking about that because he says the elemental spirits of this world, the spirits that are hovering around in the air, waging war against you and your family, against you and your kids, waging war against our soul and the glory of God. They prowl around, like Peter says, looking for someone to devour. Whether they're 5 years old, 5 months old, 50 years old, or 100 years old, that's what they're doing. They're looking at you, and they're looking at me, they're looking at our kids, they're looking at our families. They're pursuing us. Dads, Satan doesn't care if you vote Republican or Democrat or independent. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if you teach your kids to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. You should. They should. He doesn't care if you teach your kids that they should eat their vegetables. They should. Satan doesn't care about any of that because it doesn't take a believer to do any of that. And so we need to come to that understanding. What Satan is terrified of is a man that will guide his family to look at an old rugged cross where a man from Nazareth died for our sins and didn't remain dead. The essence of gospel-centered fatherhood is to faithfully point our kids past their earthly father to the one true God, namely to Jesus. Paul's words call for you and call for me to not be held captive by anything in this world except the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. And the first thing that we see about fatherhood as warfare is found right there in the first couple of verses that we read, verses 6 and 7. Fatherhood relies on a son. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Dads, we're to be gospel-centered dads. And Paul unpacks that, what that, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. You have everything you need to be a godly father, to be a godly dad. You have Jesus. You have the Son of the living God. Our being a father, a gospel-centered father, relies not on ourselves and our own wisdom. It relies only on the perfect Son of God. It relies solely on Jesus. All my failures, all your failures, are paid for by Jesus. All my successes, all your successes, all our strengths, everything that can be found in us that's of any good, it's all found in Jesus. All my wisdom, all my guidance, all your wisdom, all your guidance, our assurance that we have in our faith, the love that we have, it's all found in one place. It's all found in Jesus. The power of fatherhood, the ability of fatherhood doesn't come from us. It comes from the Father, by the Son, through the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can work up in and of ourselves. It only comes from Him. So don't rely on anything other than Jesus. He says, as you received Christ, so walk in Him. Well, how did you receive Christ? You received Christ by grace, through faith. So how are we to walk in Him? By grace, through faith. How do we parent? By grace, through faith. Jesus is not just a set of beliefs. He's not just this abstract set of facts and figures that we have to adhere to. Jesus is the living, breathing Son of God. And we can have a relationship with Him. I mean, Jesus is for today. Jesus is for tomorrow. He's for every parenting hurdle that can be seen by us. He is our power. Because the gospel of a risen Savior, His life, His death, His resurrection to forgive us as sinners, it is never meant to be restricted to some prayer that was prayed when you were in the first, second, third, sixth, tenth, twelfth. Whenever it was that you received Jesus, that His saving ability isn't meant to be left there. It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be the power of your life, to extend to the perimeters, the edges of your life, including all the failures, all your wins, all your successes. Jesus wants all of it. And so we walk in Him. So dads, are you walking in Him? Are really walking with Him? I know you're here. I know you came to church. That's not what Paul's talking about. It's easy to come to church. You just show up. Paul's talking about a life of following Jesus, because Jesus is everything. He's our power. He's our hope. He's our fuel. He is the only way that we're going to make it through life. But the ancient powers, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, all of those things are opposed to us pursuing the Ancient of Days. Or against us wanting to live like Jesus. We can't love our kids like Jesus without Jesus. We can't be like Jesus without Jesus. You know, we could put all this effort into being a good dad all the livelong day, but without Jesus, we have nothing. What we need is the old story of a king who came from glory, who sought us and bought us. That's what we need. We need to be reminded of that. Jesus is our strength. He is our wisdom. He is our God. There's a phrase that comes up over and over and over in this passage that we can't miss. In Him, or with Him. The in Himness, or the with Himness of fatherhood and of our lives, that is essential. Look what Paul says in verse 6. He's fathers, dads, walk in Him. Verse 7, dads, be built up in Him. Verse 10, dads, you were filled in Him. Verse 11, dads, in Him we've been circumcised with a new heart, new life. Verse 12, dads, you've been buried with Him in baptism. Verse 12, you've been raised with Him. Verse 13, we've been made to live together with Him. And verse 14, we've triumphed over the demonic forces with Him. Those are key. That's who we are in Christ. I've been crucified with Him. You have been crucified with Him. We've been buried with Him. We've been raised with Him. We have been circumcised with Him. And I've been made alive. You've been made alive together with Him. And we have triumphed over the demonic forces with Him. That's our lives. So dads, live in Him. I beg you to do that. Our kids need to see. Our grandkids, our great-grandkids need to see that we need Jesus. They don't need to see us as Superman. They need to see that we believe and love the grace of God. Because if your kids look at you and they see somebody who doesn't rely on Jesus, doesn't feel like he needs Jesus, then they're going to grow up and think, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to rely on Jesus. Mature Christian fathers aren't men who need Christian men. Mature Christian fathers realize that they need Jesus more and more and more. We've got to rely on Jesus more every single day. The older we get, we're to walk with Him just as we've received Him, being built up, as it says, built up just as we were taught. That's what verse 7 says. Why? Because of verse 8. Because fatherhood is a cosmic fight. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. Who's trying to take us captive? What does it say? The elemental spirits of this world. the rulers, the authorities. When a third grader or a four-year-old or a teenager is being rebellious, we're not just going up against a rebellious spirit in our kids. We're going toe-to-toe with the cosmic powers that are working in tandem with that rebellious spirit. And we've got to be reminded of that we're not fighting a battle of flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. And I know that because it takes place in my life, in your life. It's not any different with our kids. We've got to be reminded of that. This is why it's so important to understand that just good advice, moralistic, legalistic, behavior modification, it might work temporarily, but when they grow up and graduate, they're not going to rely on that. They're going to fly off the handle. We need to bring the gospel of Jesus to bear on the lives of our kids. It is the only thing that has the power to change a heart, to change a life. We cannot fight what Paul's talking about here, the elemental spirits of this world. We cannot fight those things with a Nerf gun. We need the sword of the Spirit. The gospel creates nail-pierced servants. Nail-pierced servants that love and serve and shepherd their home. The cosmic powers, the elemental spirits, the empty deceit, the human tradition, all of these things that Paul's talking about here, they're after our families. They're after our sons, our daughters. I don't keep saying that just to be an alarmist. I keep saying it because even though it's unseen, it is real. And oftentimes when we can't see it, we forget about it. Out of sight, out of mind. We need to be reminded about this spiritual war. Especially since it's all over Scripture. I mean, Satan is after family. Satan is after kids. You look at Genesis, even in the Garden of Eden. Who was the first ones Satan went after? God's first kids, Adam and Eve. He created them. He made them in his image. And they were the first ones that Satan went after. He goes after your kids, and he goes after this is what he does. Satan went after God's son in the wilderness. It's what he does. The idol in the Old Testament, Moloch or Molech. He was worshipped by the sacrifice of babies. It's what Satan has always done. Satan goes after children. And through the power of the gospel, we get the power to be godly fathers. That's why in verses 9 and 10, fathers, we need to be reminded of the Jesus that we follow. This big Jesus. Look at verse 9. For in him, in Christ, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. You have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Dads, we need a big Jesus. If we cheapen Jesus, we not only cheapen our lives and our existence, we cheapen the entire universe. Because Jesus is the head of all rule and authority. We need the kind of Jesus that Scripture talks about, not some hippy-dippy Bible teacher that isn't the Son of God. We need a big Jesus. We have a Savior in Jesus, the God-man, unfiltered, pure, holy, omnipotent God. We need this Jesus, because when push comes to shove and we're parenting our kids, we need that kind of Jesus that is powerful enough to sustain the whole universe, but is kind and loving enough to love all the children of all the world. We need that kind of Jesus. I love in the Gospels the story of Jairus. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue, and his daughter was sick. And who did Jairus go to whenever he found out? He realized there was nothing that he could do. Who did he run to? He runs to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, okay, I'll come. Well, on the way, Jesus stops, and he heals this woman that has had some medical issues for some time, and so he heals her, and right after this, the people from Jairus' home come and say, it's too late. Too late. She's already dead. No reason. Jesus, don't worry about it. She's gone. And Jesus just looks at him and says, we're going. Because she's not gone. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Listen what Luke chapter 8 says. All were weeping and mourning for her. But Jesus said, don't weep, for she's not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. Child, live. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something should be given her to eat. That's the power of Jesus that we need to have. That's the vision of Jesus that we need to have. The God-man who will tell children to live. The one who gives life to dead things. The God-man who will speak into their heart at a VBS or at a church service during a sermon that they may or may not really understand. But he will be there to breathe life and to say, live. He will be with you when you sit with them on their bed at night before they go to sleep, and you say prayers before you go to bed. He will be there to breathe life into that child. We need a big Jesus, because we need to believe that we can go to him, because he's able. He's not weak. We can go to him and cry out, Jesus, save my child. God, I believe that hell is a real place, and I believe that apart from you, my child, my son, my daughter is separated from you and is headed to hell apart from you. Jesus, would you save him? Would you save her? We need to believe in that Jesus, one who has power to give life. At the very least, men, we need to have a better theology than demons do. Some of you don't. James tells us, well, Scripture tells us that demons hear the name of Jesus and bow before him. James tells us that the demons believe that God is one and they shudder. A lot of us don't shudder at the name of Jesus. We don't have a holy fear of Jesus. We don't have a holy confidence in the name of Jesus. Wimpy theology creates wimpy men. Believe in a big Jesus, the kind of Jesus that Paul talks about here in Colossians 2:3, where it says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to go deep in theology, you want to go deeper in your spiritual life, be consumed
with Jesus, with who he is, because in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The smartest men in the universe are the ones who are consumed with him, with Jesus. We need this big Jesus from verse 9, because in verse 10, what does Paul say? He says, you have been filled in him. The ultimate cosmic power of Jesus has filled us. As Galatians tells us, dads, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. The King of the universe, with his infinite power by the Holy Spirit, is alive in your body. That is almost unbelievable to me, to actually think that the God who created a star bigger than our sun lives in me, lives in you. But we've got to believe it, because the cosmic powers that are against you and are against me don't want you to believe it. They want you to deny it. If any dad is in Christ, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When Jesus took the nails through his flesh and they put his body in a tomb, and 3 days later when his brain kicked back on, we got new life. That happened then. When Jesus died, we died. When Jesus rose, we rose. The Son of God is your power. So I beg you to live a Christ-powered fatherhood. To be a Christ-powered dad. Our homes are like little satellite campuses in the kingdom of God, where you, as the dad, are the resident pastor in your home. So God has set it up. You're like an ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5 says, where you are pleading with your home, be reconciled to God. That's how God set it up. And so let's show our families Jesus. Let's be the example that Jesus would be. The best way that we can do this, it's by the last point of our text. Live out your identity as a forgiven child. Verses 11 through 15. Look at verse 13. And you who were dead as can be, dead in your sins, in your trespasses, the circumcision of your flesh, of your dead heart, your dead body, God made alive together with him. So when Jesus came back to life, we came back to life and forgiven us all our trespasses. How did that happen? Well, look what it says. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He's forgiven us all of our sins. We were dead, but then he made us alive forever. It doesn't mean that one day, oh no, I did something horrible and I've lost it and now I'm dead again. No, if you were made alive together with him, that is forever, for eternity. And that should make us really, really, really happy. That is a joyful thing. You were dead, and now you're alive. Does that make anybody happy? You had this unbelievable weight on you, the weight of sin, and he removed it from you. I mean, you were being buried under the weight of your sin, and Jesus forgave you of all of your sin. I think it ought to be a biblical conviction that the older you get, the happier you are. Why? Because when you look back at the decades of sin that you have committed, you recognize that the decades of sin that you've committed has already been forgiven. And if that bothers you, then you don't understand grace. We are forgiven. We are new. The gospel-centered dad should smile a whole lot more, should be joyful a whole lot more. He should walk around his house saying, man, I'm loved. I am forgiven. And that's important because when we look at our kids and remember that our Heavenly Father doesn't hold my sins over me, and when our kids mess up again and again and again and again, then that means that we're not going to hold those sins, those things that they've done wrong, we're not going to hold it over them. Because our Heavenly Father doesn't hold it against us. And so we will forgive just as we've been forgiven. That doesn't mean that we don't discipline. It doesn't mean that we don't show them where they're wrong. It just means that we don't bring it back up. Because God doesn't bring it back up. Because it's been removed. It's been forgiven. Paul says in verse 14, the whole record of sin against you has been nailed to the cross. The Calvary event is the most important moment in your life. Jesus paid for our sins. He gives us new life. We're wiped clean, accepted, and given the righteousness of Jesus. I love what Paul says in verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He disarmed them. So, cosmic war going on, and Jesus has taken their weapons away. Jesus went toe-to-toe with the cosmic powers, and he disarmed them. He took their power away because of what he accomplished on the cross. Has your life been nailed to the cross? Have you repented of your sin and believed that Jesus really died for me? Died for me, rose for me, took God's wrath for me, and now grants me freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life. Our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids are learning from us, and they will remember what to do from us. They will learn what to do from us. They will learn what not to do from us. Let's resolve here and now to show our kids, grandkids, Jesus. Show them Jesus. Dads, fight for the kingdom of God in your heart. Fight for the kingdom of God in your home. Fight for the kingdom of God in your kids. The battle is an unseen battle, but it is real. You may not be able to see it or touch it, but it's happening. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, because it's the only way. The biblical, gospel-centered fatherhood will work. May Christ be praised. Let me pray. Jesus, we